The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and John sits in prison, from which he will not escape alive. You can almost sense the frustration, or maybe the doubt, that John and his disciples, who have come to Jesus with that question, feel this day. Are you the one who is to come? In more simple terms, the question is not so much about the identity of Jesus as Messiah, but more about what kind of Messiah he really is. In other words, where's the fire? That's what they want to know. What's with this guy going around being nice and attentive to people in need? In Isaiah 34, there is described a saving God of vengeance and anger, of harsh judgment and destruction, a God who wields a mighty sword dripping in blood, withering figs and vines, slaughtering oxen and bulls. Then, in Isaiah 35, there's another description that suggests a God who comes to strengthen the feeble, make firm knees that are weak, open the eyes of the blind. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and people will come to this God singing with joy and with gladness, and sorrow and mourning will flee. The issue addressed at this critical moment before Jesus with the disciples of John is, which one is it going to be? What kind of God is going to be revealed? And how will his presence be known? By angry violence and harsh judgments, or by a gentle healing touch drawing people in joy and in peace? Now that's the conversation with John's disciples that's going on here. And the matter is settled. It will not be vengeance and anger, fire and the sword. It will be mercy and peace. People will not flee in fear of God, but they will come rejoicing in song. John would have it one way. Jesus will have it another. But these verses, clear as they are, do not seem to have settled the matter quite yet. Because there are still some who do not quite seem to get what Jesus has come to reveal, who still do not understand or believe in this God that is promised in Isaiah 35, the real God, not the one some had hoped would come and destroy all the unfaithful. Today, these people are the ones who look at violence and tragedies and become angry, demanding to know, where's your God? Or why doesn't God do something about this? Failing to understand that the victim is hanging on a cross and that our God is suffering too, with and through anyone who's hurt, in pain, or suffering. They're the ones, you see, who use religion to justify their intolerance and alienate those who are different and condemn anyone who doesn't agree with their opinions and their interpretations of the facts. They want a God who's made in their image. They want a hard-hearted God who's quick to judge. But Jesus will not have it so. You see, Jesus reveals a God who suffers, who's slow to anger and quick with mercy. Jesus reveals a God willing to wait for an ungrateful, wayward son to come home without changing the locks or barring the doors. Jesus reveals a God whose grace and love embraces a Samaritan woman, tax collectors, and responds with compassion even to an enemy Roman centurion whose servant is at death's door. This then is a God who forgives while being nailed to a cross, and a God who stays on that cross to set us free, pouring out all of his life so that we may have life. With this God, we can face every disappointment, every tragedy, and every test of our faith without fear, because we're not alone. Blessed is the person who does not lose faith, says Jesus. Sometimes bewildered, numbed, and powerless by terrorism and war and genocide, sometimes we wonder where God is, and then we hear again, blessed is the person who does not lose faith. And scandalized and hurt by the grave sins against children by people we have trusted, we hear again the words, blessed is the person who does not lose faith. Parents have seen their children give up the practice of the faith in spite of having given them every encouragement and good example. And for them it is a great pain and great sadness, and they must hear again, blessed is the person who does not lose faith. But faith is a fragile thing. And so we mustn't be surprised when doubts arise within us. Even the greatest man born of a woman felt the same way and experienced some doubt. God does understand this world and all that can happen within it. Yet, blessed are we if we do not lose faith in Jesus. And twice blessed are we if, like Jesus, we can show forth that faith in love and in mercy. So let us pray.